Hey, it's Kim Commando Today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it. I always like to kick things off with something fun. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I like to walk. I walk a lot. Sometimes 20 miles a week, 25 miles a week, sometimes even 30 miles a week. But have you ever thought about taking a super long walk? And when I saw this, I'm like, I would love to do this. Okay, this walk is 14,000 miles. It travels through 16 different countries, and it takes over a year to do it. I actually put this image of the map inside of one of our free newsletters that you can sign up for over at getkim.com. It's the longest path that you can walk, and it's all detailed on Google Maps. It starts in Cape Town, South Africa. It goes through the African desert. It goes across Egypt, goes across Turkey, and it ends way up in Russia. Yes, and Google Maps says that you can actually walk it. Well, there are parts where you need to take a ferry, but all in all, you can walk it. That's 14,000 miles, 16 different countries, over a year to do it. Not sure when I would do that, but it would be very, very challenging to say the least. And speaking of walking, what do you call 100 rabbits walking backwards? What do you call 100 rabbits walking backwards? Anyone? Anyone? This is a good one. You're going to want to remember this one. Okay. A receding hairline. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And on that happy note, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kim Commando, America's beloved digital goddess, here with you once again. It's the biggest show. It's the best show. It's the most trusted show about all things digital. And you're about ready to get more tech smarts because every single thing is now a tech thing. And you can find my award-winning show across 425 fantastic radio stations in the United States. And if you want to listen on your own time, not a problem. You can find the Kim Commando Show as a podcast on Apple and Spotify. Just search for my last name, Commando, and make sure that you get the Kim Commando Show. And then you can support everything that we do and become a Commando community member. You get answers to your tech questions. We're going to start holding some online classes, I bet. And you also get the podcast commercial free. You can watch us do the show too. Super sweet. You're going to love it. And you can check out a free 30-day trial right now over at commando.com. And a special hello goes out to all of our listeners on the American Forces Network Radio, serving more than 375,000 American servicemen and women in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard and Space Force, in 175 different countries. Love that. And our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. And I need two things from you, just two things. Number one, tell one person about this show. This is the easiest and best way for us to grow the show and the podcast. And number two, tell me what you want to hear more of, even as more corny jokes. Maybe not. You can do that by sending me a note over at commando.com. There's a link that says email Kim. All right. Every single day, I check out at least 35 different websites to make sure that you're up to date on all things digital. And here at the top of this hour, we're going to be talking about what's hot and what's not at the Consumer Electronics Show, because it just took place this past week in Las Vegas. I'm talking about 130,000 different visitors and 4,000 different exhibitors. Oh my gosh. So what was big? And every year, there's always something that's the big thing. And people always ask me, what was the biggest thing that you saw at CES? Well, the biggest thing is OpenAI's ChatGPT store. What? What did she just? Not a TV? It's not a car? It's not a gadget? It's not a gizmo? It's not an appliance? Nope. It's OpenAI's ChatGPT store. I want you to think of it as a version of Apple's App Store. We're talking about customizable chatbots, or what's called GPTs. And this is going to change things because you can build chatbots for others to download and sell, much like an app. You can also buy one of these chatbots to use. So these chatbots can be designed to help you with work, write, create social posts, get maps, do complicated math, raise your kids. You get the gist. That was the big deal. Moving on to number two, let's talk about your house. Samsung has a new home robot. It looks like a bowling ball, and it's going to follow you all around when you call it, project videos and images on floors and walls using camera and lights. The main cell is that it's going to watch your pets and report what they're doing when you're away. Oh my gosh, no price yet. It's going to be super expensive. Spare me. All right. Next up, you can use Philips' new Wi-Fi palm recognition smart deadbolt, recognize up to 50 unique paw prints to actually open your doors. It's going to retail for $360. I have one of these in my new house. Let me tell you, it works like 20% of the time. Samsung has something called a music frame. It's a speaker that's designed to have your favorite artwork or photo. There's no screen. It's a speaker that connects to Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and even be part of your home theater system. So the whole idea is it saves space, and it actually is kind of a cool thing. Moving on to number three, flying cars. And what's going on with cars? Volkswagen is putting ChatGPT in its cars via voice recognition. So the car is just not going to listen for your commands or navigation or whatever it may be. You can ask it ChatGPT knowledge questions, and you're going to get the answers right from your car's voice system. As Volkswagen actually said, it's going to enhance communications. Enhance communications? What was that? Yeah? Okay. I guess calling your family members and friends in your car is not that good. Speaking of flying cars, Hyundai says that they're going to have a flying car with five passengers going about 1,500 feet above the ground in 2025. I don't ever see that happening in 2025. Just saying. Lamborghini has a new telemetry X-Tech. This tech is going to monitor the driver's blood pressure, heart rate, and stress levels when you're going that fast in your Lamborghini. All right, number four, we're going to talk health game changers. This is really something. It's called the Gyro Glove. It's designed to help folks with Parkinson's manage their tremors. It has a gyroscopic motor right on the back of the glove. It's hooked up to a battery pack, and its whole job is to keep a person's hand stable and upright. Now, folks who need it say it's already helping them with their daily tasks like drinking coffee, writing, and a whole bunch more. This is really amazing. Neurologic released their smart mirror. And what it does, when you look at the mirror, it's going to look at your BMI, your blood pressure, stress levels. This mirror, $7,000. What? It says it even can predict if you're going to become a diabetic. And finally, this coming in at number five, Kohler has the Pure Wash bidet seat. It's hooked up to Alexa and Google Assistant. So this way you can just ask your virtual assistant to crank up the water pressure and make the seat warmer. $2,000. Yes, you're going to have the cleanest tush in the land for that. And there's also the Flush app. It's like Airbnb, but for bathrooms. Businesses list their restrooms. When nature calls, you can check the app, pay a fee, and you get access to a clean private bathroom. Why? I guess that's important, a new way for everybody to make money.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. And I just want to remind you that you should be getting my free newsletter. Join over 500,000 folks who get it every single day. I was looking at the stats the other day, 29,543 thumbs up, that's our ratings, 663 thumbs down. Okay, those are pretty decent odds, right? Okay, you're going to love it. Get tech smart every single day, 5 minutes or less, and you can sign up right now. It's free at getkim.com. Once again, that's getkim.com, getkim.com. So where is the best place for you to store your data? I know, I see you. Yes, the cloud, the cloud. Well, let me tell you something. The cloud is one way, but the ultimate backup is literally out of this world. How about the moon? That's right. The moon. Today joining us, we have Chris Stott. He's the CEO of a Florida-based startup called Lone Star. Now, the reason why this is so interesting to me is, yes, they are actually putting data on the moon. NASA and Lone Star are about ready to place these backup servers on the moon. So, Chris, thanks for being here. And let's start at the beginning. Why build a data center on the moon?
Oh, well, thank you, Kim. Thank you for having us. And we think it's the best place to do this. Think of all the data we create on Earth. Every day, 2.5 quintillion bytes of new data every day.
Oh, wow.
That's an exabyte a day, more than yesterday. That's 1,000 petabytes, or another way to think about it, that's a million brand new MacBook Pros, full of data every 24 hours. And we store it down here where everything happens. And the idea is that maybe if we store it elsewhere, we store it up there, it's safer.
So why is the moon good for this?
Well, the nice thing is it's our natural satellite, Earth's largest satellite. It's close enough yet far enough away to use. It is a beautiful, stable platform. It's in orbit around the Earth. One side of the moon always faces the Earth, hence the near side, far side, dark side. And it's got natural cooling, free solar energy, and it's incredibly stable. And for radiation, it's a fantastic shield on one half. And then again, as you're looking at the Earth, you see every single country once every 24 hours.
So how do you get the data up there?
Yeah, we're lucky. We're working with some incredible providers who are part of the NASA CLPS program, Commercial Lunar Payload Services. We're working, which is part of Artemis, the sister of Apollo, to return to the moon. And we're working with a company called Intuitive Machines out of Houston, Texas, an incredible group of professionals who are building these lunar landers. And they're flying on or launching on with SpaceX on a Falcon 9. And our first mission heads up in the middle of February. We're just waiting on final dates as we speak.
And what kind of data is going to be on board?
No, yeah, thanks. I mean, so it's interesting. So it's all very heavily regulated and everything else. And we're looking at these first tests of non-regulated data. State of Florida, very, very avant-garde, leveraging 60 years of sunk investment in space here in Florida, is our first customer. They're taking some state data up there, actually a map of the national parks and state parks and more. But the data we're taking up on these missions eventually is everything that we use down here day to day. But the data that we're taking up at first is some stored data on this first mission, and then we're sending some very unique documents, transmitting them in flight to and from the lander as it goes to the moon, as it orbits around the moon, and after it lands on the moon too. But some pretty cool documents we're going to be sending there about, like refresh and restore on a time machine on an Apple Mac.
Who do you have to get permission from to use the moon as storage?
Oh, absolutely. No, the hardest thing about getting to space, Kim, is getting permission. These days, the rockets are the easy part. Oh, I hope I don't get struck by lightning for saying that. But rockets are the easy part. No, space is the most regulated of all of human activities. And so when you're putting anything into space, you have to be licensed in terms of the spectrum you use. Your listeners on radio as well we'll get this. It's like having a radio station license to talk to things in space and also then permission to launch and operate. There's a treaty called the 1967 Outer Space Treaty with the United Nations. It's like an incredible capsule. Great read, actually. It's fascinating about astronaut rescue and liability and registration and what you can or cannot do on the moon. And Neil Armstrong purposefully triggered the treaty when he landed on the moon. Do you remember his first words? It's so cool. I love this because I'm a space law guy and it's just a history buff thing too. He said, "Houston, Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed." So he actually declared a base under a clause in the treaties on how to do this. And so when you land on the moon, no one owns the moon. No one owns any celestial body. You can't own Mars, can't own Venus, you can't own the moon. Because technically the Soviets were the first to land on the moon. We were the first to put people on the moon, right? Little subtle difference there. So the idea was you couldn't, in the middle of the Cold War, say the moon was yours. Could you imagine walking outside in the 60s looking up and seeing communists on the moon? I mean, right? It was terrible. I mean, we kind of have that today. China is doing so many things on the moon. Even as you and I talk, they're active on the moon. But the idea being that when you land on the moon, it's not sovereign. But when you go, you're licensed. And they want to make sure you're using a proper rocket, proper lander, how are you disposing of things, what kind of materials, fuel you're using, all of these things, right? You go there, and as you land, it's like landing, say, an American lander. It's like landing Washington, D.C. on the moon. That is under American jurisdiction, supervision, continuing regulation. And yet, say, a Japanese rover on board. Well, that's like a Japanese embassy on board. It's under Japanese control and control and liability and all these things under the treaties. It's fascinating how it works. But it works, and that's the important part. Oh, no, you can't just casually go to the moon. Or anywhere in space.
Right.
Yes. Like James Bond villain stuff, you know, not that we have billionaires with private islands and rocket ships, but yes.
So are these data centers on the moon, are they going to be doing any type of experiments?
Yes, we're going to be doing, so these first two test flights, the first one, like I said, is just going to be transmitting documents in flight, some digital storage. And the fun thing is the first document we're transmitting, I'm a proud American citizen, despite my funny accent. Old-fashioned type, I swam here. My arms are still tired, right? And so the first one we're sending, we thought we have to do something significant. We have to do something that is meaningful. This is the first document purposefully transmitted off planet for storage. And so we're sending the Declaration of Independence with full permissions and everything. And then the first documents we're pulling back are the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We thought that was the most appropriate thing to do. You know, what's the first document ever stored on the moon? Well, that would be the Declaration of Independence, you know. Always. Awesome.
You know, I have to tell you, when you just said that, I got chicken skin. Thank you. I think this is so fabulous, Chris, what you're doing. I'm so excited to hear more about the launch when it actually happens. And, you know, it's when I read about the moon being used as a backup, at first I was like, come on. You know, and then I dug a little deeper, and I really think it's a wonderful experiment, wonderful thing that you're doing. And thanks for being here and sharing your story. And do keep us posted on the progress, please.
Oh, Kim, thank you. I shall do. And please come see our mission control here in Tampa, St. Pete, and maybe come out to one of the launches sometime.
I'd love to do that. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. I never thought I'd be talking about saving data on the moon. Never, ever, ever. All right. Cable and phone companies, along with ISPs, don't want you to know there's a secret way that you can save big money on your monthly bills. I want you to put your service on hold for 30 days or more. It's called vacation hold, or sometimes it's called seasonal hold. And this is when your provider is going to pause your phone, your internet, or your TV when you're not at that location. You don't need to return any equipment, change a thing. You get to keep that email address. You get to keep that phone number when the service is on hold, too. There are no reactivation fees, too. So this is a great option if you're a snowbird, if you have a second home, extended hospital stays, if you're traveling for a month or more. What you want to do is, again, just call your provider and ask for a vacation hold or seasonal hold. Sometimes they charge like $5 or $10, but it's definitely worth it.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Let's talk about your iPhone. Your iPhone is really a professional camera. I mean, you might be sitting there, well, why do sometimes my videos just come out blurry? Well, you use the wrong settings, silly. There's a simple reason why your iPhone footage isn't crisp like you see in commercials and movies. The reason is that high quality video requires a lot of data, and it's super difficult to send over, say, a text, an email, or even just to upload wirelessly. So Apple automatically makes your videos a lower quality format. But if you want to be a film pro, you have to use higher quality settings. So with an iPhone 13 and higher, what you're going to want to do is head into your iOS settings. Under the settings, I want you to tap camera and then formats. And that's where you're going to find Apple ProRes. Again, that's Apple ProRes. Just switch that baby on. Then once you want to shoot a video, you have to manually turn it on each and every time. I know, it's kind of a hassle. Again, just tap that ProRes button, and that's where how you upgrade your phone's video settings automatically and on the fly. All right, let's see. Judy in San Antonio, Texas. Glad to have you with us.
Well, my husband and I are snowbirds, and we're originally from Montana. We're down in Texas, and we're working on a ranch. It's work camping. And the owner sold the ranch, and there are new owners, but we're still working on the ranch. Okay. But the new owners want to pay us with something called Stripe, and I'm not familiar with that. I was just wondering if you know anything about it, and is it secure?
So they want to pay you via Stripe?
Right. Yeah. And so they created an account for the ranch, and then send us an invitation or something, I think, and then we get on there, and then it automatically will deposit. It's like an automatic deposit.
Yes,
or maybe it is. Like Venmo or something.
The reason why I'm questioning Stripe is more of a, I have something to sell. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you remember, like, years ago, we'd have bank merchant fees. And in order for you to take a credit card, is that you had to say, like, you know, put $20,000 in an account or whatever. But Stripe allows small businesses, large businesses to accept payments via credit card. Okay. Venmo is more of a person to person payment system. So the only reason why I'm wondering why they're using Stripe versus Venmo is, which I guess maybe Stripe is now in the PayPal business. I haven't checked it out that far, but maybe they are. But there, it is reputable. It's been around for a long time. Like I said, they take credit cards, debit cards, ACH payments, and all these other, but it's primarily for you to get paid, not for you to pay somebody else. But that said, it can go both ways, I'm sure. I would just have some questions.
Okay.
Is that Stripe will charge transaction fees. Who gets, you know, I just want to make sure that if you're getting paid $100, that for every $100, you are actually getting $100. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, when do you get your money? And are they going to hold it back for 24 hours or do you get it that same day?
Okay.
And, you know, of course, you know, wire transfer is always the best, you know, from bank to bank. But if they don't want to do that, maybe I don't know who the new owners are or why they're using Stripe, but I would Stripe is legit. Don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure that if you are getting paid $100, that they're not taking out any transaction fees because Stripe will charge a transaction fee. And okay. Also, when do you get your money? Those would be my two big questions. And if there are any transaction fees or delays in you getting your money, then I would request a wire transfer. You could always do a check and take it down to the bank, old school way, I know, or Venmo or Zelle or something like that is always a good way to go too. Judy, thank you for your call today. All right, let's see, in Indianapolis, Indiana, Milo, you're next.
I am calling because I have an ongoing frustration. I have a small business. We have a website. It's a simple website. We don't even do online sales. But a couple years ago, it got hacked, and for 2 days, it pretended like it was a bank. And we discovered it, and we recovered our site and cleaned it all up. But immediately, it was marked down as a malware or a bad site.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tried to go to popular antivirus sites and say, hey, we're cleaned up. And everyone's different, and you fill out their forms, and it just goes into the ether. And years later, like I just got Total AV, somebody's newsletter I know, it suggested it. But again, it says my website's a dangerous site. And I can click and go to it, and it works. But my customers are not going to do that. And so I'm frustrated trying to get them to recognize that my site is okay.
And what do you mean somebody's newsletter? Where'd you get? Come on.
Well, I have this wonderful person, Kim Commando, has a really nice newsletter. And one of her sponsors, I think, is Total AV.
I know. And I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
All right. So first of all, shame on you for getting malware on your domain. That means you weren't keeping everything all up to date, which you will never do that again.
It turned out it was somebody we were hiring to back end, whatever. I'm not good at this, but we got different people and we got more security and our backups weren't even good and all sorts of stuff. That part we've cleaned up, but we're still blacklisted.
Yes. Yeah, it's really hard to get off this blacklist. It's called the DNSBL. DNSBL. It's a domain name system black hole list. Okay.
Blacklist. Sure.
Yes. And so basically what it does is it goes out and it tells everybody on the internet that Milo is malware and you should never go anywhere near Milo. He's like that guy, that family member that everybody talks about and nobody likes him.
That's right.
Nobody likes you, Milo. And that's all like, you know, he used to be a nice guy. We don't know what happened. He was all right.
This is sounding way too close to home.
Things went wrong. Okay. Maybe he'll turn his life around someday. Maybe. Uh-huh. So what you have is there's a list of addresses out there, and you can remove yourself from this blacklist. But as you said, it becomes almost like whack-a-mole after a while. So your best way to handle all this is for you to pay somebody to do it. Okay.
Okay.
Because they have the tools, they have the contacts, they have everything that you don't have, including time and effort and energy and experience in order to do this. There's a company called RackAid. That's RackAide, RackAid.
Okay.
And they will monitor and they'll actually remove your domain from blacklists. I mean, you can do it yourself, and I'll send you some links on how to do it yourself, just to make sure you're doing it the right way. But you know, sometimes it's just worth paying somebody to do these things.
I've tried to do, and like I had Kaspersky, and it kept, and I got tired of it. I shut it off. Well, customers aren't going to shut it off.
No.
That just gets my irritation level down.
No, and it's, you know, and it sometimes it seems unfair, and I get this.
It's hard.
Because
I understand they have to err on the side of caution, but how do I,
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to put you on hold. Lovely Amber screening today and screen our calls. And so, Amber, if you could send Milo, I'm going to call you Malware Milo from now on.
Oh, great.
Nice. send Malware Milo some links that I can put up there for him. And then this way he kind of walk you through exactly how to get yourself off the blacklist and then how to pay somebody else to make sure that it's done for good. And this serves as a reminder for everybody who's listening right now. And if you have a server for your domain and you're like, wow, I haven't checked that out for years. Well, you know, now's the time. Make sure that all of that security stuff is all up to date. And if you have an IT person on board, make sure that they have it as well. And make sure you check out your domain. I'll tell you, I have so many people I hear from like, well, I used to have a domain. I didn't look at it for 10 years and I went there and it was a spam site. Okay. Don't let that happen to you. Do not be Milo. I'm just kidding you, Milo. I love you. Poor Milo. Now, everybody in his family is going to be calling Malware Milo. Okay. All right. Streaming is so expensive, isn't it? Oh, it's so annoying. I mean, 5 years ago, Netflix, Disney Plus, and Hulu would cost you around $56 a month. The same service is now $110 a month. It's just outrageous, okay? So you're ready to save. Here's how to do it. Get creative. If you are still paying for all those sports add-ons and you don't look at them, you don't watch them, get rid of them. Focus on what you watch the most. If you're not watching anything on Netflix, just cancel it until you find something that you do like on it. Maybe you might want to watch some ads. Streaming companies are desperate to keep you and get free or cheaper options if you want to put up with commercials. Also, take a look at all of what you are paying for. I use Rocket Money. It's a sponsor of our podcast, and it will comb through everything and tell you what you're paying for as far as streaming access. You can also look at your bank statements to find all your streaming charges. You might want to think about getting an antenna. We have some information about that on the website. Also, look at their freebies, Pluto TV, the Roku channel, even YouTube. There's a lot of free stuff for you to watch. We have a list of this with more details. Just head over to commando.com, and when you're there, hit that link that says Show Picks.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
All right, let's see. Ryan in Provo, Utah, you're up next.
So something I've been wondering about, if you think back like 20 years ago or more, when I took a picture of something, I'd have, of course, a piece of paper in front of me, a photograph, and I'd flip it over and I'd write down things on it, like the names of people in it or the place or why the picture was important to me. And I'm wondering, what's the digital equivalent of that today? Like, how do I note the pictures I'm taking on my phone? So like my kids will... Yeah, my kids will know why it's important.
So this way you can say, okay, this is grandma, this is, you know, Aunt May's, and she's making dandelion wine or whatever it may be.
Exactly,
What kind of gear are you using?
Well, just, you know, my iPhone.
Okay. Well, on your iPhone, you have something called the Photos app, right? You're so familiar with it, I'm sure.
Sure.
When you select a photo, you can actually add details. A lot of people don't know this, is that if you swipe up on the photo, there's a I, when you know what the I stands for? Information. Yes. And that's where you can add things like names, locations, events, things that you want to remember. And then it also allows you to search. So if you wanted to find, you know, every picture about Aunt May, that you could go ahead and do that, or something that was between a year or a place or an event or whatever it may be. And then also don't forget that on your iPhone, it has this wonderful thing called facial recognition, right? And so you can find somebody's face, and then hopefully it will go out and then categorize and put everybody under that face. Although it is kind of interesting to me, Ryan, that that sometimes it picks up pictures of my son Ian as me. And I guess that makes sense, you know. But it's like, no, he's like 6'2" and I'm 5'5". Okay. And he's a guy and I'm a girl. But that's all right. So you could try that. Again, you just want to use the eye. And then if you find that you know, maybe that's not enough for you, that there are certainly apps that will do things that will allow you to add more details. Sometimes it's called the metadata. And you can also change the date and time of the photos. And using these apps like Slidebox is one that's pretty pretty popular. Another one's called Metafo. But the whole idea is that you can still have those good old days where you can look at a photo and then actually say, oh, this is who this is. And hopefully, you know, 20, 30 years from now, that there'll be a way to read that eye.
Right.
So, you know, so sometimes it's the way that if I really want to preserve something is that I kind of go really old school, is that I make a coffee table book. And so maybe it's my mom's 80th birthday party, which I've been working on lately, is to create a photo album of the event and to put details in there, because, you know, I don't know what storage is going to look like 5 to 10 years from now, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to have books, right? So
I hope so.
I hope so too. Okay. If AI doesn't take over and we all become, you know, the side effects of a robotic evolution or revolution, or we want to call it. So if there are memories that you really hold dear to your heart, is that I would encourage you to actually put them out together as a photo book. You can use like MPix, Shutterfly, you know, any of those sites that will allow you to do that. But again, on your iPhone, just go ahead and use the eye for information. If you're using Google Photos, it has a similar tool built right in there as well. And Ryan, thank you for your call today. You know, the other day I was on an airplane. I wanted to see how many photos I had on my iPhone. Care to guess? Guess how many photos I have on my iPhone? Oh my gosh. 34,622. Like, oh, geez. Wow. And it's all organized. Not really. I just lied. Have you ever wondered what happens to orders that the USPS and Amazon can't deliver? It gets sold online, sometimes at really cheap prices. One website to check is govdeals.com. They have USPS contracts to auction undelivered goods. Once again, that's govdeals.com. Now, you're not bidding on some mystery box. You actually see photos and descriptions of each item. So that's good. Another website to check is liquidation.com, is that you can filter by brand and retailer. It's not just Amazon and USPS. You actually have Target, Walmart, and Home Depot. Now, there are some downsides. Everything may not be in a pristine condition, and there's no way to return it. The sites again, govdeals.com and liquidation.com. Hey, thanks for joining me. Don't forget, 24/7, you can always find me on the website. That's commando.com.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.